today, for the second hour, ladies and gentlemen, I have a very special guest today. Let me just spend a minute here introducing him. He is probably the one person who I would credit or blame, depending on what word you want to use, credit or blame, with opening my eyes as to what is going on in our world. His name is Ted Pike. He runs the website truthtellers.org, has put together really a book that I would say changed my life, and it is called Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma. And he goes into an in-depth investigation, I guess, for lack of better words, about what Israel really is and what Judaism really is, as opposed to what we have been told they are. And along with his video entitled The Other Israel, this really was, I guess, the epiphany for me. All of a sudden, after sampling these two works, put together very well, I began to understand why our world is falling apart. It all has a common thread to it, and it deals with the very topics that we will be discussing today. And as I said in the first hour, all of these things are interrelated. The attack on USS Liberty, the fact that the United States right now finds itself at war with 1.5 billion people, meaning those in the Islamic world. And all of this, again, goes back to some very simple issues, not the least of which is this war of ideas that exists between what we would call Judaism and Christianity. Now, the reason that I asked the good Reverend to be on with us this morning is because there was a particularly shocking story that ran in some news outlets this past week. It dealt with dozens of copies of the New Testament and other Christian-related material being burned publicly in Israel. Now, of course, we didn't hear anything about this on the evening news. We didn't read about it in the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times. But yet, this is a very important issue. Now, put this in perspective here. If this had been copies of the New Testament and it had been burned in some place such as Iran or in some other country that has been targeted for destruction by American Israel, this would be front page news all over the world. We wouldn't hear the end of this. And yet, because it took place in Israel and because the perpetrators of this happen to be Jewish instead of Muslim, we don't hear a peep about it. And so I thought that this would be, if there was one person who could comment on this and bring all of this into perspective for us, it is the one and only Ted Pike of Truth Tellers. So having said that, Ted, are you with us?
Oh, Mark.
How are you? It's good to hear from you again.
Well, I'm real good this morning. Thank you for giving me a forum to get this news out to the world.
No problem. It's as important to us as it is for you, believe me.
Yes. Well, I heard from the Associated Press several days ago that, you see, there's something like 10,000 Messianic Jews in Israel. Now, these are Christian Jews. They are rather Talmudically reverent, and they are citizens of Israel. Some of them even serve in the armed forces of Israel. But nevertheless, they believe that Jesus, Yeshua, is the true Messiah, and they're really getting under the skin of these ultra-Orthodox Haredi Jews in southern Israel especially, and there's been a real outbreaks of persecution against them. I have written extensively on this. I have an article at truthtellers.org. It's entitled Christians, a Persecuted Species in Israel, or an Endangered Species in Israel. And the people can read more about, get more of the background on this conflict, but the persecution against these Christians in southern Israel is reaching the breaking point now because the local magistrates and local police are going after them. There have been vicious attacks on the Christians. In fact, one Christian family received a package in the mail and their son opened it, and a bomb exploded in his face, severely damaging him. And there's just a vicious anti-Christianity going on in southern Israel at this time. And not only that, but the government says basically it has a hands-off policy. It says these Christian Jews have no business even evangelizing in Israel in the first place, and therefore they're leaving the resolution of this problem to the local mayors and police. And so it's a blight on the reputation of Israel as our so-called democratic ally in the Mideast. But what the AP reported this week was that these Christians had been distributing New Testaments, probably just Bibles with the New Testament in them, I think by the hundreds to the Jewish occupants of the town of Or Yehuda. It has about 36,000 people. They're primarily distributing these to Ethiopian Jews who may have some Christian background from their Christian past in Ethiopia. And the mayor of this city, excuse me, it's the deputy mayor by the name of Uzai Aharon, found out about that, and he went throughout the streets with a loudspeaker in his car proclaiming that everyone should relinquish these New Testaments. They should give them back to the authorities. They gathered, I believe, hundreds of them, and he instructed students, rabbinical students in the local Jewish theological school, the yeshiva, to burn those New Testaments next to a Jewish synagogue. And so they were burned, and the shockwaves, the repercussions of that have been going out all throughout the Christian world, even though, as you say, it has not received massive media attention.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Ted, one of the things that I run into all of the time, particularly whenever I talk about the Talmud to people who either don't know about it or else they do not want to know about it, they always say, oh, you're just making this up. No such things exist. Well, as I read this news story covering this this book burning, let's just put it in plain terms, it is a book burning, there was a section in the news story that I read that said it is a religious duty for Jews to burn books that are threatening to their way of life. Now, interestingly enough, I quoted from your book, Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma, but there is a passage in the Talmud that says that the books of the Christians must not be saved from fire. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, actually, it says they must be burned. I believe it's Shabbatai 1:16 in the Talmud says that the books of Christians, even though they do contain the sacred name of God, nevertheless should be burned because Christianity is much more dangerous even than paganism.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the AP article, the statement was made by the deputy mayor that this is a commandment,
mm-hmm.
a Talmudic commandment to burn Christian books. And he did say that he had the overwhelming support of the Jews of Or Yehuda to do this. So you see, he is a religious Jew acting according to the precepts of Talmudic Judaism, which make it a virtue to book burn the sacred scriptures of Christianity.
Yeah, exactly. And my point is that whenever people like you or I or others talk about that the Talmud says this and the Talmud says that, we are lambasted and ridiculed, called conspiracy theorists, anti-Semites, Jew haters, that we're making all of this up. And yet here we have, in black and white, basically the words coming out of the horse himself, where he's saying this is a religious duty. We are commanded to do this.
Yes.
So this isn't Ted Pike saying it. This isn't Mark Glenn or Michael Collins Piper or anybody else saying this. This is coming out of the individual right at the center of this. And, you know, one of the things that I found interesting about this is not something that, at least in this case, was a spontaneous uprising on the part of the people. This is basically, as you put it, mm-hmm. when you were describing it, where he's riding through the town with a megaphone or whatever, and he's telling people to bring these documents out. This was, at least at the level that it existed in this particular town, this was a government-sanctioned event.
Well, absolutely. You see, the government of Israel is Orthodox. The chief rabbinate in Jerusalem speaks for the government of Israel, basically, in religious matters from the Orthodox point of view. you know, we hear about Israel being a secular democracy and so on. Well, there may be a majority of secular Jews there, but the fact is that the authority, the religious authority of the State of Israel going back to 1948 is strictly Orthodox. And, of course, the Orthodox take the Talmud very seriously, and this statement out of the Talmud has to be definitive law. In fact, this statement in the Talmud says this is the law of the Talmud, Halakha, the binding Jewish law that Christian literature should be burned.
Okay, Ted, there's the music indicating that we're going to a break. Stay tuned. We've got a couple calls we're going to bring up. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the one and only Reverend Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org. Stay tuned. We're back, ladies and gentlemen, with Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org. We are talking about the book burning that took place in Israel this past week, where I guess what you are saying, Ted, is that it was not dozens, but rather hundreds of copies of the New Testament were burned in a town in southern Israel. And yet, relatively speaking, we've heard nothing about this. I mean, whenever something happens that even hints of some type of anti-Christian discrimination or hatred on the part of the Muslims, it's pounded into our ears to the point where we can't hear anything else. And yet, America's only ally in the region, Israel, our supposed best friend, religiously speaking, since we are a quote-unquote Judeo-Christian society, yet we hear nothing about it. Now, Ted, let me ask you this. Has there been any kind of reaction on the part of organizations such as the ADL or John Hagee or anybody like that?
Well, the ADL very quickly denounced this action in Israel, saying that it violated all standards of tolerance which they stand for. And, of course, they would have to do that. But here's the interesting twist on this. You see, this is a classic hate crime. According to ADL criteria of what a hate crime is, a hate crime is bias motivation which leads a person to commit some kind of a criminal act. It doesn't have to be a felony or a really even a violent act, but the ADL, basically, in all the hate crimes bureaucracies which ADL runs around the Western Hemisphere, they basically say that desecration or burning or defilement of the religious texts of another religion, whether it's the Quran or the Talmud or whatever, is considered a hate crime and is indictable in countries like Canada and Australia and many, many countries in Europe. And what they're not saying, however, is that this is a classic hate crime. Because here you have bias motivation against Christianity resulting in the desecration, the burning of the most sacred scriptures of the Christian faith. And yet the ADL, who certainly knows what a hate crime is saying absolutely nothing about that. And what I'm saying in a recent article that I've just been writing today and yesterday, and which will be up on truthtellers.org tomorrow night, is that this is just the tip of the iceberg as far as hate crimes in Israel. You see, Israel, for at least the past 50 years, has been involved in violent actions against the Palestinian people, you know, expelling 800,000 of them in 1948, the Deir Yassin massacre, a whole string of massacres after that, clear up to the mid-1950s, and including Lebanon and on. Israel has been out of bias motivation against Palestinians and the Arabs, has been perpetuating violent actions against them. Now, that means that there are literally thousands, if not tens of thousands, of unresolved, unadjudicated hate crimes in the State of Israel. And, there's a monumental work which is available in most university libraries. It's called the Encyclopedia of the Palestine Problem. It was compiled by a Christian barrister of Palestinian extraction, Dr. Issa Nakala. And what he does in there is he delves deeply into the British archives up until 1948 and also the United Nations archives, and it lists literally hundreds, many, many hundreds, if not thousands, of quantified violent hate crimes which occurred in Israel during the periods about from about 1944 to 1998. And so what we have is that the tremendous hypocrisy of the ADL in pontificating to the rest of the world, trying to get everybody else straightened out and free from bias and hate crimes and all these kinds of things. And right in their own backyard in Israel, ADL is sitting on a mountain of hate crimes events over the last past century.
Well, you know, Ted, as you indicated, the ADL had to do this, okay? Given the fact that, you know, it did make at least some news, they had to issue something, lest their clever disguise in appearing to be sheep when in actuality they are wool yes. would be revealed for what it is. But, you know, even more importantly than that, what I would remind people is that the ADL has come out many times stating that the New Testament, the very same book that was burned in Israel and which the ADL is supposedly denouncing, the ADL has come out on several occasions and has said that the New Testament is quote-unquote classical anti-Semitism.
Yes.
So let's not make any mistake of thinking that the ADL looked at this event that took place in Israel and said, oh, my goodness, this is horrible, bigotry and intolerance and all the rest of that stuff. The ADL exists for two primary reasons, one of which is to spy on American citizens who are critical of Israel, and number two, as you have pointed out, Ted, either to actively work for or to assist entities who actively work for the de-Christianization of the United States.
Yes.
And there's that music indicating we're going to another break, yet another break. Imagine that. Everybody stay tuned. We will be back in 3 minutes with Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org as well as your phone calls. Everyone stay tuned.
Well, I'll walk back down.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, for the last half hour of this week's Liberty Hour. Talk about somebody who won't back down. We have a person who fits that criteria today on the program with us, and it is Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org. Now, I wanted to ask you something. You know, the previous hour, Ted, we had on as a guest Eileen Fleming, who runs the WeAreWideAwake.org website, and she has a quotation on her website from the book of Luke. In particular, it is Luke chapter 12, verse 2, and it says, it's quoting Jesus, where he says, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hidden that shall not be known." And I cannot help but, in light of those words, take stock of this news story about what took place in Israel with the burning of these New Testaments. That basically what is happening is that the mask is coming off of our enemy. For all of the efforts, and believe me, they are incredible, the amount of effort that has been poured into deluding Christians, particularly Christians in America, that Israel is their friend, and that you know that Israel or that the American Christians have a duty to support their quote unquote Jewish brothers in the Jewish state, and yet when we see things like this taking place, the book burnings and whatnot, as well as the firebombings and other things that have happened to Christian churches in the Holy Land since Israel basically was dragged up from her grave, basically, you know, the words of Jesus are coming to fulfillment here, is that, you know, all of these things are being revealed,
yes.
That Israel is not the friend of Christians anywhere in the world.
Yes.
Would you like to comment on that?
Well, yes, I've been laboring literally for the last almost quarter of a century to persuade the evangelical and Christian churches of a very simple reality, and that is that although they may love Pharisaic Judaism and Zionism and so on, they are not loved. They are not really loved in return. The truth of the matter is that Judaism's most sacred religious authority, the Babylonian Talmud, is full of hatred and contempt, not only for our Lord Jesus, but for Christians, and as we are seeing this week, even for the writings of Christians. And this has been a hard sell. It's been very, very difficult to prick this bubble of euphoria and idealism having to do with Israel. The evangelicals have been taught and educated by ADL and the Jewish media that the state of Israel is the result of divine intervention and fulfillment of massive prophecy and so on. And so it's been a very uphill fight. Back in 2004, I did begin to make some progress in enlightening the evangelicals when those 11 Christians were arrested in Philadelphia, basically by the ADL. Lynn Abraham, who is the district attorney of Philadelphia, rounded up 11 Christians who've been doing nothing but singing a hymn and holding up signs critical of homosexuality. She indicted them, not indicted, but she arrested them for the hate crime of witnessing to homosexuals, and she was threatening 47 years in prison each, plus $90,000 of fines each for those 11 beleaguered Christians. Well, I got on the radio, and that's how I really got my start on talk radio, basically telling the evangelicals that there is a very anti-Christian element within the Jewish community. It's not all Jews, but it's a minority of very, very anti-Christian activists coming out of the Anti-Defamation League and of the Neighborith International, which is basically the parent organization of ADL. And I told these Christians that these radical left-wing anti-Christian Jews were establishing hate crimes laws in Canada and Australia and Europe and even in the States in America, which were basically anti-Christian, wanting to put a noose around Christians, entangling them in legal entrapment and persecution and so on, as has been happening in Canada. So this began to insert a tiny shaft of light that maybe something was wrong with God's chosen people. They weren't as perfect as they had thought. They were not the perfect apple of God's eye that Falwell and Hagee and so on are describing them as. And what I've been doing is every time the Jewish media misbehaves, every time the Jewish civil liberties groups like ADL, Southern Poverty Law, ACL and so, ACLU and so on, every time they misbehave, I get on my prophetic well, if you will, like Ezekiel, and I declare their sins, and I declare the enemy is coming and what the enemy is doing. I identify what the enemy is. I say that it's Jewish activism and so on. And repeatedly, again and again and again over the years, I send these missiles of truth into this bastion, this wall of evangelical blindness about Israel. And what we're seeing this week is further confirmation that there is something wrong within Zionist ideology, which is in opposition and wants to persecute Christians. And I believe that even though Christian leaders are not speaking out publicly against what happened in Israel this week, I believe privately between the leaders and certainly privately between millions, perhaps, of Christians of all persuasions, I believe they are deeply troubled as they are seeing their illusions shattered.
Well, I would hope so. Ted, we've got a whole board full of callers here I want to pull up before the end of the show. Let's go to Dave from Massachusetts. Dave, come on up.
Oh, hello, Mark. Hello,
how you doing?
Reverend Pike.
Hello, Dave.
Yeah, Mark, just first off, right up front, I couldn't find Eileen Fleming's email address on her website. Do you have it?
I'll tell you what, Dave, send me an email after the show, and I will put you in touch with her.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, Mark, I just got a fresh batch of the special report from AFP, remember the USS Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
I have 40 of them. I got 40 more of them, and I'm going to pass them out over around Minuteman National Historical Park over Memorial Day weekend.
Well, be careful, Dave. They may arrest you for trying to perpetrate a hate crime by doing that.
Oh, I know, yeah. Oh, yeah. I never let my guard down, believe me. Let's see. A number of years ago, shortly after it was published and everything, I read Israel, Our Duty and Our Dilemma, and I also have the video, the Other Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Reverend Pike's email list.
Mm-hmm.
I get his emails.
Good.
You know, and before I forget it, you know, on Power of Prophecy this week with Tex Mars,
mm-hmm.
He's doing a show entitled Jesus and the Talmud,
mm-hmm.
and it's very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that reminds me that there is a book that you can get from AFP, by the way, anybody interested out there, by the same title. It's called Jesus in the Talmud. It's written by Princeton University professor Peter Sheffer. Fascinating book. Stuff. I thought that I was pretty well versed on what the Talmud taught of Jesus, but he has actually uncovered even more information, this Princeton University professor, stuff that I mean, really very strange stuff about how they allege Jesus was covered in tattoos that he received when he was in Egypt. And these tattoos basically were magical incantations, and this was what he would use. He would look at his arm, and he would read an incantation that he had tattooed on his body during his time in Egypt, and this was supposedly how he performed his miracles. Dave, I'd like to give you more time, but I've got a lot of callers here I got to pull up. Send me an email, and I'll put you in touch with Eileen.
Can I just ask Reverend Pike something?
Sure, go ahead.
Oh, Reverend Pike?
Yes.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Reverend Pike. Have you read the book? It's entitled The Bible, the Devil's Book.
The Bible? Give me that again. I didn't quite catch that.
Okay, it's entitled The Bible, the Devil's Book.
No, I haven't.
Boy, I highly recommend it, and I've highly recommended it to Mark. I just got another copy from Barnes & Noble, but it's published by Washington House, and the website is EdenPlaza.com. But you know, I know you're an expert on the Talmud, but if you really want some keen insight into this Talmudic Jewish mindset, these Jews, they truly are made in the image of their God. And I know it's kind of, and I'm a Christian, Reverend Pike, so don't misunderstand me. I'm a Christian. I have a very strong faith in Jesus, but I hope you and Mark... Do a favor, if you really want to get really increase your insight into that, Jewish Talmudic mindset, get a hold of this book, The Bible, The Devil's Book. The author is named, it might be pronounced Yoss Rogier. He's a Belgian professor, but his first name is spelled J-O-S, and his last name is R-O-G-I-E-R-S.
Thank you, Dave, for the call. Let's go to Dwayne in Texas. Dwayne, come on up. Dwayne?
Yeah, Mr. Pike. Hello.
Yes.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Yep. We all press for time, and I would just like to ask you to fix your website up like a bunch of the other activist websites are, that you'd have a pre-printed editable letter that we could send to our so-called representatives and senators. You know, that would really help us out in this deal if you could fix it up to where we could do that like a lot of these other activist websites have done.
I'll give that some thought.
Well, I'd sure appreciate it because it'd sure help out the cause.
Okay. I'll mention that to my webmaster. We'll think about that.
Okay. Just look at that. John Birch, I think, and NRA and a bunch of them like that have, you know, look at how they've got theirs set up and go from there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Dwayne, thank you for the call. Okay, let's bring up Bruce from Washington. Bruce, come on up.
I would I'd come to this revelation about I'd say 15 years ago, and it's put me at odds with the majority of the Christian families or their brethren. Mm-hmm. And nonetheless, there's a few that will come around. But however, it's spoken under your breath, just like anything that's feared, and just like the Bible says in the New Testament, for fear of the Jews. Mm-hmm. And I'm astonished at how many of these churches are literally afraid of any opinion that the Jews might, hold against them.
Mm-hmm. Bruce, I'm not astonished, and I'll tell you why. Because it's no different than the fear that gripped the apostles on the night Jesus was taken, and it was no different than the fear that that kept them hiding in the upper room after Jesus was crucified. And it says, as you quoted there, for fear of the Jews. And not only that, but even when Jesus was alive and he would confront the Jewish leaders, some of his apostles took him to the side and said, you really should be careful about what you say to them. They're very powerful, and they could make our lives difficult. So it really is, as St. Paul said, there is nothing new under the sun. What we're dealing with today is no different than what the founding fathers of our faith had to deal with in their own day.
Well, just a light reading, a cursory reading of the entire New Testament would show you that there's quite a bit of difference between what they refer to the Jews in the New Testament versus the Old. Completely different. And completely different in nature and everything there. So the gap between the New Testament and the Old Testament must be incredible. Those two pages that are almost stuck together must span hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
And
Ted, do you have anything to comment on that?
Well, actually, I think the main difference is that the Pharisees coming out of Babylon, the scribes and Pharisees, remade the old Hebrew religion into what is now called rabbinic or Pharisaic Judaism. And this, of course, drew Christ's terrible wrath as he extensively denounced the Pharisees of how they had made the law of God of none effect. And
That,
of course, is very prophetic, because the oral tradition of the scribes and Pharisees became the Babylonian Talmud, which, as I mentioned earlier in this program, is the official Orthodox Bible of the State of Israel. So this is very ominous that those very Pharisees who crucified Jesus Christ are now upheld by the State of Israel as their greatest religious authorities.
Well, we have in this country extreme, radical, pro-Israel, pro-Zionist preachers. And the first one that comes off my head, of course, is John Hagee. And he is the guru of the cursed McCainite that is running for president. Or supporter. It's hard telling which way that they go. But I find him more inflammatory than dangerous than the reverend that is supposedly the mentor of Barack Obama, Barack Hussein Obama.
Well, I guess the latest is that McCain has denounced Hagee and won't receive his support now.
Well, that's meaningless. It's just they're trying to distance themselves temporarily for political purposes. It doesn't mean anything. It's politicians breathing, they're lying.
Yeah.
Bruce, do you have anything else you want to add?
No, we just have the state Republican convention here coming up in Washington State, and it's going to be a slaughter for the Ron Paul people against the McCainites.
Okay, well, have fun.
it is going to be interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks a lot. Glad I found you.
Good to talk to you.
According to the Bible, we are to bless Israel, the Bible. Are the Jews Israel of the Bible, Ted?
Well, we are, first part of your question, we are to bless the true Israel of God. And the Israel of God are those who do the works of Abraham, who have the faith and the kindness and mercy and justice of Abraham. That includes not only Jews or descendants of the tribe of Judah, which are modern Sephardic or Oriental Jews, but it also includes everyone in Gentiles as well who look toward Jesus, the author and the finisher of everything that Israel ever meant to the world.
That, I believe, is spiritualizing the problem.
Well, we're going to have to pick this up at a later day, Wes, because...
Thank you.
Thank you.
Never-ending question.
Yes, it is. Ted, I cannot thank you enough for coming on board. If somebody would have told me 15 years ago when I first saw your video that one day I would be interviewing on the radio, I would never have believed it. Here we are. And anyway, ladies and gentlemen, in the meantime, have a good week. Have a good weekend. Go out and tell your friends about the USS Liberty. Tell your friends about the danger that we face in this country. All of us are called to be Paul Revere's, and that's what we have to do at this moment. Anyway, thank you for listening. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you next week.